Welcome to What I Learned in History Class podcast for the week of April 10th through the 14th. I'm your host, Jake.
And I'm your co-host, Kaden.
On today's episode, we will be going over Nam.
You mean the Vietnam War?
Same thing.
Well, before we rush into the war, why don't we give some background information to Nam as to why the war started?
By 1965, the Black Movement and the emergence of the New Left had shattered the climate of the consensus of the 1950s. But what transformed protest into a full-fledged generational rebellion was the war in Vietnam. The war tragically revealed the danger that Walter Lippmann had warned of at the outset of the Cold War, viewing the entire world in every local situation within it through the lens of an anti-communist crusade. The Truman and Eisenhower administrations cast their lot with French colonialism in the region.
After the French defeat, they financed the creation of a pro-American South Vietnamese government in violation of the Geneva Records of 1954 that had promised elections to unify Vietnam. By the 1960s, the United States was committed to the survival of this corrupt regime.
Now that we know some background information on why the Vietnam War started, we can now get into some of the major events that occurred during the war and explain what Lyndon B. Johnson and President Nixon did during the war and the effects of their actions.
Lyndon B. Johnson came to presidency after the JFK assassination with little experience in foreign relations. Johnson had misgivings about sending American troops to Vietnam, but he was an adept politician and knew that Republicans had used the loss of China as a weapon against Truman. "I am not going to be the president," he vowed, "who saw Southeast Asia go the way China went." In 1964, North Vietnamese vessels encountered an American ship on a spy mission off its coast. When North Vietnamese patrol boats fired on the American vessel, Johnson proclaimed that the United States was a victim of aggression. In response, Congress passed the Gulf on Tonkin Resolution, authorizing the president to take all necessary measures to repel armed attack in Vietnam. Johnson was given this blank check, which basically meant that he was allowed to spend however much money he needed to in order to keep Americans safe. The nearest the United States ever came to a formal declaration of war, the resolution passed without any discussion of American goals and strategy in Vietnam.
Despite Nixon's successes in foreign policy, Vietnam remained a persistent problem. Nixon declared he had a secret plan to stop the conflict when he ran for president in 1968. He introduced a new policy known as Vietnamization. According to the strategy, American troops would progressively leave the battlefield while South Vietnamese soldiers took up an increasing amount of fighting with sustained American bombing support. Vietnamization, however, did not stop the war or the anti-war movement. As the war escalated, protests again spread on college campuses, partly because the policy of exempting students from the draft had ended. At the time these protests were occurring in America, the same social changes were sweeping the home front were evident among troops in Vietnam. Soldiers experimented with drugs, openly wore peace and black power symbols, refused orders, and even assaulted unpopular officers. In 1971, thousands deserted the army. While at home, Vietnam veterans held anti-war demonstrations. The decline of morale and discipline within the army convinced increasing numbers of high-ranking officers that the United States must extricate itself from Vietnam. So you could ask yourself, was Nixon's secret plan successful?
In early 1973, Nixon sends Henry Kissinger to negotiate a settlement in Vietnam. The full evacuation of U.S. soldiers was made possible by the Paris Peace Agreement, the outcome of 5 years of negotiations. The agreement preserved the South Vietnamese government, but it also gave North Vietnamese and Viet Cong troops control over several regions of the country. The military draft ended, and American bombing stopped. The armed forces would now be made up of volunteers. But whether Vietnam will remain a single country or split into two remained the fundamental problem with the conflict. During the North Vietnamese final military attack in the spring of 1975, the answer to that question was provided. South Vietnam's government fell. The United States took no action other than to remove its embassy, and Vietnam was reunited under a new leader. But the only war the United States has ever lost, Vietnam, was a military, political, and social disaster. By the time it concluded, between 3 to 4 million Vietnamese and 58,000 Americans had died.
The war cost the U.S. hundreds of billions of dollars and diverted funds from domestic priorities. The divisions caused by the war continued in debates over its legacy that persisted for many years.
We will be back right after this break. To get an idea of what the Vietnam War was like as a U.S. soldier, we brought a special guest, Gerard Rolick, onto the podcast, who served as a lieutenant in the Marine Corps during the Vietnam War from 1967 to 1968 to answer a couple of our questions.
Our first question for you, Mr. Gerard, is if you were to describe your experiences in the Vietnam War with one word, what would it be and why?
It's a very good question and a very hard one to answer in just one word. There are many that come to mind. I guess the best one that I can think of is it was very exhilarating. It was an amazing thing to fight alongside with young men. And at the time, we thought we were fighting for our country and fighting for the people of South Vietnam. And I think that was true, and that's certainly what we all thought. There were times when I could also use the word scared, frightened, happy, joyous, sad. So there are many words, but exhilarating, I think, was just the adrenaline rush you get with fighting and being alongside of men that you end up loving.
Our next question is, in Vietnam, did you interact with any Vietnamese civilians? And if so, how did they treat you?
Where we were, which was in the northern section of South Vietnam, right along the demilitarized zone, we rarely interacted with civilians. However, when we did see them, they were very happy to see us. They were very kind. They always asked for food if we had any, and we gave it to them if we did.
What was it like to be in a firefight?
There are many, many emotions that come to mind when I think about being in firefights. First of all, you're so scared, you don't know what to do. Then when you figure out what you should be doing, you do it. And afterwards, you shake because you were so scared about what could have happened.
Very cool. Our last question for you is, what was a typical day like for you during the war?
We never slept through the night because we always had to be alert for at least 2 hours, try to let others sleep. So you had a couple hours of wake time, maybe from 2 to 4 in the morning, then you could try to go back to sleep, and then you get up maybe at 6. We rarely slept on cots or in tents. We would basically just lay on the ground or lay in a foxhole. And unfortunately, many times you'd wake up and it would have rained during the night and you were laying in a couple of inches of water and it was muddy. But you'd get up. I don't remember that we brushed our teeth every morning, which at sometimes wasn't possible. And we'd usually then go out on a patrol and try to find the enemy and if we could engage with the enemy. But many days it was sheer boredom. And I think one of the best quotations I've heard about war is that it's hours of boredom followed by minutes of sheer terror. And I think that would be a good description of what a typical day was.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Rolich, for taking time out of your day to answer our questions. Thank you for your service as well.
Before we end this segment, I just want to give a shout out to my grandfather, who also served in the Vietnam War as a sergeant in the 1st Battalion, as a scout and sniper for the Marines. He was awarded the Purple Heart and many other awards for his heroic actions. Currently, he's in the hospital, so he's unable to join the podcast to reflect on his experiences.
Let's welcome the one and only Mr. Sanders to the podcast. Word on the street is that you have a few questions for us regarding the Vietnam War.
Based on what you've learned these past few weeks, can you talk a little bit about the four American presidents in office during the Vietnam War and maybe which you should feel would be credited for doing their best to end the war? And then after that question, one more question for you. You referenced that the Vietnam War is the only war that America ever lost. Why do you feel, or what do you feel are the reasons that the United States was on the losing side of that two decades long conflict?
Although Lyndon B. Johnson attempted to end the Vietnam War through conflict with a blank check, his attempts were more so to win the war rather than to end it. Nixon, on the other hand, did his best to end the war peacefully through his 1968 campaign. This campaign that he promised peace through was titled Peace with Honor, and he appealed to the silent majority. Once he was elected president in 1973, he sent Henry Kissinger to negotiate a settlement with Vietnam. The negotiation lasted 5 months, and eventually, the U.S. removed all of its troops. Even though this war is considered a loss for the United States, it was also a success in limiting further casualties.
One of the reasons that the U.S. lost the Vietnam War was due to the fact that Vietnam soldiers fought a hit-and-run guerrilla war against inexperienced American troops, many of whom were young conscripts. The threat of an invisible enemy in hidden traps like punji sticks, which were sharpened sticks of bamboo, which were leaden traps, had a demoralizing psychological impact on U.S. troops. Additionally, anti-war protests were occurring in America as well as on the battlefront in Vietnam, demanding an end towards war and violence. Many U.S. soldiers deserted the army and left America no choice but to remove itself from Vietnam.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. I hope you have all learned more about the Vietnam War.
I'm your host, Jake.
I'm your co-host, Caden.
We would like to thank Gerard Rohrlich for sharing his experiences during the Vietnam War, and Give Me Liberty by Eric Foner for the rest of our information.